Alright lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast where I sit down with an amazing guest every single week. I know we've had a 2 week break, we'll get into that in a second. I do want to introduce a guest first, but regardless, I'm joined with someone who is very cool, who is currently on a very rapid rise through content creation. And that's not, I'm not even exaggerating that, it's very, very true. Today, I'm joined with Saps.
Hello everyone, I'm Saps or Saparada, and I am what he said, like I guess I'm a content creator. Not a lot of people say that about me yet.
You are the next generation, Saps, of content creation. How does that feel?
It's kind of crazy to think about that. Like, only a couple months ago, I had like 2,000 subscribers in like June or July. And now the blow up has been insane. I don't even know what I'm at anymore. Over
162,000.
Wow. Yeah. It's absolutely insane. The amount of attention that's been thrown at me in the last couple months. And obviously I'm super duper grateful for it, but I'm so excited to be here.
You gave me permission before we carry on yapping here to address the possible elephant in the room. So for listeners of the podcast, like I just mentioned, I took a 2 week break. A lot of you I know comment and listen on Spotify and don't follow any of my other socials. I was telling Saps before the podcast. So that means you probably have absolutely zero clue as to where I've been. So where have I been? I moved out. I think I mentioned it a little bit before on like a previous podcast, but it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, we weren't expecting it. And then, so I've moved out, right? My setup is in the outhouse, so you can probably hear a current echo, which you'll also hear in the video that came out last week or whatever. I will hopefully have shelving units put up behind me soon, so it'll kind of ease the noise a little bit. I have an Ethernet cable running through, so I have like 120 more download speed than I used to have. I'm also unwell. I can't breathe through my nose, so my voice probably sounds a bit weird, but it's okay because I have the goat on today. So, you know, sorry, thank you Saps for that. I just needed to like dump everything there and then.
Yeah, clearly everything's going all right for this podcast, you know. Ooh. We have everything lined up in the perfect order. We wouldn't change a thing, you know.
This is just gonna be a great talk. I can feel it already. Before we do carry on though, I always like to give the introduction for you to introduce yourself. So who are you, what do you do, and if you have a fun fact either about yourself or in general. Like, I know you've already mentioned about, like, you know, your name and kind of blowing up out of nowhere, but like, still, the fun fact, the format, we have to follow it, you know. You said it yourself.
Yeah, sure. I'm Saps or Saparada, and I am a YouTuber and content creator. I am mostly known for being a character in Ish's 1000 player Rich and Poor Civilization, but I've been dabbling with my own content on my own now since that has been published. And I guess a fun fact about me is, I don't know. You put me on the spot here about the fun fact. I like going hiking. I'm also a college student, and I'm studying finance. I'm getting a master's in finance. So I guess you could call me a finance pro too, but.
Wait, finance?
Yeah.
Why? Is there a reason? Yeah, like, I know it's probably a weird question, but still.
No, yeah. But what is finance, you would say? And I would say it's money, you know? And I love money, you know? So I was actually a computer science major my freshman year, and I was like, I hate this. I don't like it at all. And so I was like, I need a quick pivot. And I had family in the finance industry, and I talked to them about it, and I thought it was really interesting. And so I pivoted towards finance, and I'm actually trying to get a dual degree in marketing as well, which I guess makes sense since I'm a YouTuber and all.
Yeah, so you've already got it all figured out, huh?
You'd think that. You'd absolutely think that, but not really.
You're kind of just going through life and hoping for the best, huh?
I got in, this is my first and only year of master's. I have a 2-year program that I'm doing in 1 year. And the moment I started this rigorous, massive master's course, YouTube blows up out of nowhere. And now I'm trying to tackle doing master's courses and also attempting to be a YouTuber at the exact same time. And so that's, it's been pretty demanding. But I'm enjoying both of them a lot, so.
I guess to kind of build on that topic a little bit, How has that felt? Like, you know, I know you mentioned that it's been demanding, but like, you know, because I never really studied. I'm sorry, I did study. I never really had to balance studying and content creation, but I do balance work and content creation, which is like, which is rough, especially since I'm yet again in a new job, my third event and my third job in 9 months. So, you know, and this one like is a lot later shifts. So, look, obviously, as you know, we were hoping to record the podcast earlier, but I got home late and I'm living on my own now, so I actually have to do chores. So, like, how does it feel for you to balance the both?
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely insane. You know, like, obviously, since I'm in school, my hours aren't insanely crazy. But like a couple of days during the week, like I'll be in till like 5-6 p.m. And then like I've had creators like reach out and be like, "Do you want to be in like a recording?" And I'm like, "No, I'm sorry, I'm in marketing class or something like that." And it's like, oh, that stinks, you know? It's like, I'd love to fully commit to this YouTube thing and like really try it out. But like, obviously I'm so close to being done with school that like that just absolutely needs to be my full attention. So yeah, it's super hard to tackle, especially when you get into like midterms and like the testing periods during the semesters. Like I just had my midterms like a few weeks back, and like tackling that during like recording a series and trying to get in like a tournament in Minecraft and like doing live streams all at the same time, and then like trying to tackle like, you know, real life responsibilities like hanging out with friends and like, you know, exercising, going to the gym. It feels like there's just not enough time in the day, you know?
Yeah, it can be a little bit stressful, but you've done incredible making it work, it seems. I mean, you've got a fairly consistent upload schedule. I will be honest, I don't know what your stream schedule's like, but like you're still kind of getting involved in clubs and making the events work. All the things that you mentioned, you're still making work.
Yeah. I would totally say, I feel like I've been very lucky and blessed about my position. I feel like a lot of creators have almost reached out to me to be in stuff. And it's like, wow, that's crazy. Like people I've watched on YouTube for years being like, "Yo, you want to like do a stream together or be in this event together?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, absolutely." You know, it's just insane. But yeah, I'm super lucky.
You even made coming on the podcast work, huh? Which I'm very appreciative.
I did. Well. No, of course, I'd love to be here. Been super fun so far.
So how did you get into content creation again? Like then, sorry, like let's not talk about now, like not talking about your content creation right now since the big thing that happened, which we'll talk about later on. But obviously before that, you were doing little bits here and there. I mean, you have the really entertaining 50 sub special, just generational content creation right there. You know, how to summon Hero Brian, like, you know, even though it was only 2 years ago, it felt like it was uploaded 10 years ago. How to go to the A for like really, really good videos here. Filming the beach, probably one of my favorite ones.
That was my magnum opus, I'd say.
That was peak. If you look at it, right? I mean, the videos, the views on the videos after that one, all are really high. So I think that was kind of like the peak. That's what you needed to kind of push yourself over the edge and get all the subscribers you have today.
That was a turning point for sure.
So were you interested in the idea then?
Yeah, so I feel like I've always been interested in content creation, but like the task of being a content creator or a YouTuber just was impossible. I was like, how do people even do that? Where do you even get started? For years. And then during like COVID, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should like give something a try. I want to like learn how to like video edit. Like that sounds super interesting. Like, let's sit down and learn how to video edit. So I typed on my little computer and I had this like really bad software. I didn't know what softwares were good, what softwares were bad. And I downloaded like the first link when I looked up like video software, and it was like this crazy outdated video software. And I learned like, I was like, let's start with like, you know, terrible quality posts, because I thought that was really funny. And so I started with there. I learned like the basics of video editing, and I was like, man, this thing's fun. So like I would make like, I'd play like Minecraft with my friends in real life and like record all bits of it and make like funny edits out of the shenanigans in the Minecraft, the SMP that I played with like my real life friends. And then it kind of just spiraled into getting into Ish's state, and then realizing that I was presented with an opportunity and being like, all right, let's double down on this thing and then truly figured out how to actually make stuff. So that's probably it.
So I'm gonna be honest here, Saps. All right. Obviously, you mentioned there like you did all that and then got into the issues event, which was kind of like I don't obviously give your achievements credit to someone else, but would you say that's kind of where it all began? Like that kind of changed everything, getting into an issue event.
Oh, for sure. The story about me getting into his community was from years ago. I had a friend that showed me his like first video, the 200 players simulate civilization video. Like when it was at like 75k on YouTube. I think now it's at like over 15 mil or whatever. I have no idea what it's at. So like when I had a friend show it to me like super early and I was like, wow, this seems so fun. And he was like, let's get all of our friends in it and all play. And I'm like, this is great. This sounds so fun. Let's do it. And we get in this cool video and like, it'd be awesome. And then we all get on this server and then there's this new event that's coming out, the 200 player island civilization event. And I'm like, this is so sick. Oh my God. This is our perfect opportunity. We'll all apply. And so we all write our applications and we all apply. And then I'm the only person out of all of my friends to get into this event. And I'm oh no, where did all my friends go? And so I log on to the event. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. Let's be memorable. Let's do something crazy and fun. And then 15 minutes later, some guy dumps lava on me during the grace period, and I die. I'm the first death in the entire event.
Nice. and that's what you get for abandoning your friends.
Yeah. And so, and then my entire tenure in Ish's state was 15 minutes in the server, and then I was out for good. And that was my first event. And I was like, awesome. what was that? So then I stuck around. There was other events after that. There was the prison event. And I made connections. I made friends with a lot of people in the community. And then there was the 1,000 player simulate civilization on massive islands. I think it's his second most recent civilization event. And that one was really where... I guess you can say notoriety in the community really started to form because like I was playing in like smaller events before that. And so like I had friends and we were like going into this Ish event. Let's make one of the nations. Like, let's try and make one. And so I ended up making one and it was like a democracy and they ended up voting me as the leader. And I ended up getting a small role in his video and getting like voice lines and stuff like that and being familiar with the production process for the first time. And I was like, wow, this is like the behind this, like during the event was so cool, so fun to play and like role play and do all that stuff. But the behind the scenes was so cool, like learning how editing works and audio mixing and just how Ish's storytelling really comes into play and figuring out scripting and voice lines and all that. I was like, this is literally magic. And so I ended up that video ended up coming out and it blew up. It has like 40 million views now, so it like that was crazy.
It did all right.
So people started recognizing me there. And basically, I was like, this is awesome. And then the Rich and Poor Civilization came out years later. It took like a year after that one for us to record the new one. And so I played this Rich and Poor Civilization. And then there was this thing called the repeat rule, where leaders of the last one couldn't actually be like major characters in the new one, the Rich and Poor. And I was actually on that list. And so I was like, oh, shoot. Okay, I can't be like a huge character in this. So I'm going to like chill out, make a vacation home, have a good time, hang out with my friends that I've like made throughout the years playing in this community. And then the events of the Rich and Poor video unfold and I become this wanted fugitive and I have to like run from the world and this crazy, crazy story. And so after that, I'm like, wow, that was insane. I need to capitalize on this. Like, what the heck just happened? And so I ended up deciding that I was going to make my own perspective video of the event. But at the same time I decided I was going to do that, I actually got reached out to by Ish. Because I actually had one civilization video posted before that. My 200 players simulate the Wild West in Minecraft, which was like another like smaller event. Shout out Parables, who they don't do events anymore, but they were awesome. And so I wanted to make an event on that, event video on that. And Ish actually saw that and asked me to be on his editing team for the Rich and Poor video after the video was recorded. And so I was making my own video at the same time as working on Ish's video. And that was just a crazy experience as well.
Wow.
And that's basically, insane. Yeah, that basically sums up getting into the community and then actually getting all the way through the Rich and Poor civilization.
So I'm going to make a statement here that's probably going to shock you. Maybe it won't, who knows, but maybe it will. So I tend to do research on people. So like I'll mainly, if I'm a Jet Quanquo like fan of them, if that makes sense, I will watch their content and know it anyways. But then a lot of time when I bring people on the podcast, I'll do research on them by watching videos. I've heard they're amazing. I've just been so busy since it came out. Like genuinely, I know it came out ages ago. I haven't seen the new Ish video. Everyone wow. around me has seen the video, so I'm very fortunate. When you announced on the podcast, I have a lot of information about it. I haven't had time to watch it sadly. Normally, like I said, I'd watch it and do research, but I haven't seen it. So like everything you're saying, I sometimes have like little bits of notes for, but also this is for one of the first times ever on the podcast. This is actually genuine news to me, like all the stuff that you're saying. So it's kind of interesting to hear from a perspective of that I don't actually know it. Like I never really get to hear from just a podcast perspective. It's quite fun actually.
That is super interesting. Like everyone and their mom has watched this video at this point. Like it blew up, which is completely unexpected. I remember talking to Ish and all the other editors that he ended up hiring in like one of our editor VCs before the video came out, and we were like, wow, like this video, we think this video is really good, but like there's no way it does better than the previous one. The previous one has like 30 million views, 35 million views. Like it would be insane if it like outperformed that, you know. And we saw this parkour civilization come out and it go viral, and we were like, wow, like if only that would happen to us, you know. Like we have this crazy video that we think is really good, but there's just no way that this happens. And then lo and behold, we post it, and then all out of nowhere, for the first time in our like fandom little community, it blows up on like every platform. People are making edits and fan art and following all the characters in the video. And all of a sudden, it's just this huge deal. And we're like, holy crap, you know? It's insane.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's not even me trying to be like, it's not even a case of me trying to be quirky. Like, oh, everyone else has seen it. I haven't though. Like, I want to watch it because I've heard it's incredible. And I trust all my sources, because all of my sources are 40 million plus people. But like, you know, at the same time, I just sadly haven't had the time. So... you know, like I've watched some of your videos. Like I've had the time to kind of watch the quote unquote like smaller videos. Like I mean, I know Chained Life is like 42 minutes and like 50 minutes and all that kind of jazz, but at the same time, it's not like this kind of in-depth thing where you only show up every now and then. Like I'm guessing in the Ish video you weren't obviously on screen the entire time, so it's kind of hard to, I have to kind of stay locked in to get your parts, if that makes sense. Whereas obviously Chained yeah. Life, it's your video, so it's just, and it's your series, so it's a lot easier to track like you specifically. So I kind of had to pick my poison, but I do have a few notes here. So someone who you apparently have partially interacted with called Roman Rodri, I won't get into too much because it kind of falls under the thing we mentioned beforehand, but I have a few things here. So in season 1.5, that was November to December 2021, that was mm-hmm. the one you mentioned earlier that you died right from the lava, or was that a season yeah. before that?
Yeah, no, that 1.5 was the first event I played in, which is Ish's second event, and I died 15 minutes to a lava bucket from another player, yeah.
And then season 2, that's where you became a leader. However, you died yep. in day 6 because you had to go on holiday, right?
Yeah, so, so very funny. Okay, so I'm this leader of this semi-big nation. It's on the desert, and then there's this giant nation called the Sultanate, with this quote-unquote corrupt leader storming hell. And so my entire spiel is that I'm this quote-unquote good democratic elected leader. I'm corrupt. Like I'm kind of scheming behind the scenes trying to get this other leader assassinated the whole time. And so I have this giant plan of like his bodyguards are going to betray him, and they're going to like come and be on my side. And I have this whole like giant scheme orchestrated and ready. And then my parents are like, we're going on a holiday. And I'm like, no, what are we talking about? And so I climb up the highest tower in our nation. It was called Theria, and I jump off of it, which I think is the first time in like Minecraft like civilization history where one of the big characters just off themselves. And so like the entire server is like, what just happened? He jumped off the tower? What are you talking about? And then my second in command comes in, and then my giant plan succeeds and the guy dies. And unfortunately, I'm not there to see it. But it's just super funny. It's portrayed a little different in the video because it wouldn't make sense for Ish to say, and then he jumped off because he had to go on holiday. But yeah, that's really what happened. And I think that's so funny. People who know that rack up every time.
Yeah, it's no, when I read it, because like Roman, like there's obviously a lot more that Roman wrote. I'm kind of just dumbing it down a little bit because I don't want to just read out a text wall to you. But reading through it, like it's like a, it was the perfect, it's a perfect kind of storybook, if that makes sense. Obviously, it was already in video form, so, but reading through it was so interesting. And then you also mentioned about the repeat rule. So, you know, where like, as you mentioned earlier, you can't become a main character again. However, you know, you just don't care. you didn't intentionally do it, but you just have this aura around you where you had to become the main character again. And it's kind of made me want to watch the video even more, because the way Roman like puts it, and spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the video by now and you're like me, kind of your own fault, all right? You've had plenty of time. I've been busy. I have an excuse. But, you know, if you haven't watched it, it's your own problem. So you face the spoilers. I'm going to say what I have here, and I want you to kind of give me a bit more in depth on it, because it does sound incredibly interesting. So you become this kind of peaceful, and let me say it through, and then obviously pick up on what I've, in case I misread what Roman said. But you're this kind of peaceful person wanting like to, you know, combine the nations or whatever. And then someone from one nation kills someone from another nation, assassinates them, and then pins it on you. So then you host this massive meeting, and then little do you know, the roof has been compromised, and then all of the leaders around the table except for you just get murdered, which sounds, again, it sounds so sick, which is really making me want to watch it now. And then you get framed, because there's also the people who do the ruling also have people who are working for that faction. Now, please say this a lot better than I just have.
So there's so much like more nuance to it as well. But I think this really interesting thing. So the player that ends up framing me, his name is Fluixon. We call him Flux for short. And the crazy thing is Flux is a really, really good friend of mine. We've known each other for years. A fun fact that not a lot of people know is that we were actually the first people who we talked to in state. Like, the first person I talked to was Flux, and then the first person he talked to was me. Flux ended up being the second in command of me. He was my vice president in the previous video. And so we have like a ridiculous amount of history. And so I build this little area for peaceful meetings, because I became this island, peaceful island neutral mediator, because I wasn't allowed to be a part of any nation. So they're like, he's the perfect person to be a neutral person in this meeting. And so I make this little area to host the meetings. And then I'm like, Flux, can you help me build this place? And he's like, sure, buddy. And he's like, he helps me build it. And I go and get like the people for the meeting after this assassination that just happens that like kills the biggest leader on the island. And then lo and behold, he rigs the roof of the trap, and like a giant trap kills every leader, and he frames it on me because I'm the only person there. And then the entire world thinks it's me, and I'm like, it was him, it wasn't me. And no one believed me for like days. It was crazy. Yeah.
And how did you flip it on his head, if you were able to flip it on his head?
Okay, so in the video, I run away from this meeting, and the entire world wants me dead, but I go into hiding in like the jungle, like in this like big biome that no one would be able to find me. But I go, for the sake of the video, hey, if I can go on trial, I will come out of hiding if I can like say my case, because I'm innocent and I believe I can prove myself innocent. And then the whole server goes, yeah, sure, that sounds fun. And so they build this big courthouse on like a hill, and I come and I do this trial. And little do I know, Flux, one step ahead of me, rigs the trial, gives the judge diamonds to give a guilty verdict. And I present this evidence and I go at the trial that it was Flux. I literally say his name and I point out like my reason, and I still get this guilty verdict. And they're like, we're going to execute you right now. And so I end up running away from like 70 people, like, and end up living again. And I had to go to flee to the other island now. And so a couple of days go by. I like make allies with like the big leader on like the island now. And I like plea my case to the other island. And finally, like the detectives on the Rich Island, which was the one from the run I was originally on, finally catch on. Like there's like this screenshot that goes around of Flux mining sand at like the end of where my base was. And so like everyone believes now it's Flux, and then they go and arrest him to give him a trial, and he runs away and triggers another trap that kills like six people. And so everyone now finally believes it was me, but Flux flees to like this giant volcano base, and then the big war happens.
So
crazy.
With Ish's videos and like, I again, kind of just your whole impact on this, and I don't want to take away from, I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but just in case, I don't want to take away from it all. Is this all like completely legit, or is there a little bit of like role play? For instance, the traps were like, the people who were trapped, did they genuinely have no clue, or was there role play behind it?
The people who, yeah, genuinely no clue. Like it, none of the things in the Ish stuff is scripted. None of the main story beats. So big traps, big assassinations, big story points where people go, what people do. None of that is scripted. That is all up, entirely up to the players.
I had a feeling, yeah. So
and so, sorry. Obviously, in when it comes to that, to make the story as good as possible, there are like small things, like voice lines that will get like re-recorded, or like small scenes embellish the story and like bridge like story beats together. And so that's Ish's specialty. He's very good at crafting a coherent narrative. But the main story beats, what actually happens in the video, was 100% completely true.
100% simulation. Yeah. So it kind of, the reason I wanted to ask is, it leads into my second question here, is like, so to do all of this, both yourself and Flux clearly have a talent, right? So, okay, this is a two-parted question. It just keeps building. Oh my gosh. So two-parted question here. Firstly, how do you just do it so naturally? Secondly, did you know you could just do it so naturally? Because, you know, obviously you're doing it in the moment. Yeah, probably you're thinking behind the scenes, like, you know, you're not intending to become a main character. But as soon as you do, because you did become one. And as soon as you become one, you're like, okay, I need to make sure this is the best I can do, blah, blah, blah. So you're probably thinking of ideas, right? So did you know you had it in you? And also, how do you do it?
What's yours? God, yeah. The pressure that gets thrusted all of a sudden onto you is immense. So for a short amount of time, I'm like, oh God, what am I supposed to do? Because at the same time as trying to figure that out, the staff of the event is like, what the heck? Did he just break the rule? Because they were like, is he a part of this scheme? Like, and so I had to like talk to staff and be like, I'm not part of it, and like iron all that out. And so, like, yeah, you have to, like, definitely take a step back and, like, really, like, be like, okay, I'm now a part of this story. What is, like, now, what am I supposed to do? And I think the best way to do that is to have a character, set morals and standards that character follows, and then stick with. So my character really wanted peace on the islands, and so I stuck with that, which is interesting because the way it played out is that because I was so, I pushed peace so hard, there was a war because of it, and a lot of people died. And so there's a lot of nuance that comes with that too. But I think personally that the story that happened to me was, it's a once in a lifetime. There was so many times where I should have just died. I should have just like got killed by someone, and I just barely got out. It was ridiculous. Like something like that will never happen again, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just something you can't replicate even if you tried, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like you couldn't script it even if you were the best writer in the world. Like it's insane.
But that's sometimes like a lot of the time the best stories, really, right? I mean, it's like to kind of relate, make this a little bit deep. It's like when you're walking down the street and maybe like, okay, right. So I was shopping the other day, right? Because, you know, just buying some stuff, and there's this Irish fella, and he comes up to me and he asks, he asked me to like help him take a container out of another container because they were like stuck together. So I was like, yeah, sure. And then, you know, we kind of just stood there like looking at stuff because he didn't walk off. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to talk to him. So I was like, oh, like, you know, I said, oh, what part of the island are you from? And then it turns out like he was from a part that's not too far from my dad. Anyways, the point I'm getting at here is, right, is like that interaction was never meant to happen. But then we ended up chatting for like 10 minutes just in the middle of like my partner's like looking for me because she lost me in the store and I'm just talking to this random Irish guy. And it's like, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of very, very forcing a relation to your law here. But it was a nice interaction that happened because I didn't force it. I didn't intend it. And it's the same way with how your story played out. It wasn't forced. It wasn't intended. It just happened and it turned out to be really good. It was a bit of a stretch there, my comparison, but it's all I got.
No, yeah. Totally agree.
A podcast invitation. I sent you a Discord friend request and you accept. There we go. So that's my comparison.
Yeah. It's so interesting how things line up sometimes. But yeah, I'm so grateful that I got put in this lucky position to be able to like capitalize on it in a way. Because I feel like it's so many times people can get put in like big lucky positions where something big happens and then like they're 2 seconds of fame gets brushed over by the next big thing. And so I'm like it's crazy that it's been like, I think the video came out in like July and it's been 3-4 months and people are still like wanting to be, is still interested. And I'm still getting these opportunities to come on a podcast, do a tournament, be in a series with someone. And it's just so cool, you know?
If I don't really normally ask people this question, but I'm going to ask you regardless. Did you know what Inside MC was before I invited you?
I heard about it. I remember, I think maybe a while ago, I watched one of the podcasts with someone. I couldn't tell you who it was. Let's see.
I mean, there's no pressure. It's just, like I said,
no,
I don't know.
Yeah, I have. It's morbid. I have. There was, actually, you know what? I actually watched your, I think your like life steal video from like a month ago. That happened to go on my feed and I watched that.
Okay.
And I was like, this video is cool. And so when you asked me for to do a podcast, I was like, let me look them up. And then I looked up your YouTube channel and like the red bar was on your video. And I was like, oh my God, like I've watched a video by this guy, which I thought was super cool.
Let's go. No, yeah, no, you seem like the thing is, it kind of link into what you just said there as well about the whole people kind of having this moment of fame and either like not capitalizing or just, I know you didn't mention this, but I'm just going to say it, like also just not to turn out to not be very nice people. Like you seem genuinely like very deserving of it, if that makes sense. Like I mean, you know, like talking to you here today, this is my first interaction with you because like I mean I've seen your videos and stuff, but we never actually interacted other than the invite. So like see, like having this conversation now and also seeing just how well you've done to like make this series on your own and like, you know, like the content creation space is in super interesting, right? And what I'm about to say isn't a dig or isn't me talking bad about people, right? But I feel like once you kind of get a bit of a platform, and it goes for the same with Inside MC and also kind of the same with my mentality, it's a lot easier to get people on the podcast once you have a resume. Like I like, you know, with your videos, it's just smart how you kind of had this quote-unquote resume, thought of this really cool series, was able to get some really cool other content creators in on the series, and then you've capitalized with keeping the series consistent. Like it's incredibly, and it's really impressive, and also to do that alongside studies and gym and all that kind of stuff, like I play, honestly, you deserve it. You really deserve it right now.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
No worries.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. I would say it's for sure difficult, but it's so rewarding, you know, being able to look at the comments on YouTube videos and the fan art on Twitter and all the positive interactions that I've had with so many people, including just what you said just now, and people being like, oh my gosh, like this is like you're awesome. It's like it's so cool, you know. Like it's nothing that I could have ever like dreamed of happening. Like just one moment I'm not doing this, and the next moment I have like thousands of people being like, you're awesome, like thank you for making this, or your content is amazing, or like, you know, all this other stuff. And it's just so cool. It really is a dream come true. Like if I told if I told 10-year-old me that was watching Stampy and Captain Sparkles and Dan TDM Minecraft videos that I was going to be a Minecraft YouTuber one day with an audience and being on podcasts and giant tournaments, I'd be like, you are absolutely crazy, you know? And now here I am. And it's just super cool.
I must say, you're giving me a big, even if it's unintentional, you're giving me a big ego boost talking about it being a flex being on the podcast. I appreciate that also.
It is a flex. Listen.
I just hit 7,000 subscribers. I'm going to catch you.
You're right there, man.
Yeah, I'm so close. But
I mean, like, how many people get to be like, yeah, I got invited to be on a podcast? Like, that, like, that's so cool. Are you kidding me?
I think the thing is as well, and it's kind of like, I can actually fully relate to you about, is when you said about the whole being a Minecraft YouTuber after, like, you know, watching all these other people. It's the same way I felt when I got, like, Captain Sparkles on the podcast, and I got, you know, like, other people on the podcast as well. Like, I can list so many names. I'm not going to. But I just felt like, I kind of just sat back. I remember saying it, like, DMing people after the podcast, like, when Captain Sparkle said yes and I actually talked to him, I was like, wow, like, I grew up and I still do, like, listen to Fallen Kingdom, for example. So, you know, like, being able to talk to him about Fallen Kingdom. Like, when I had Jerome ASF on the podcast, right, I literally was just, I said it to him as well, I was just asking all questions that, like, 13-year-old me would want to know the answer to. Like, how he named his act Betty and this and that. And I was like, it was insane. So I can fully relate to you with the feeling of, like, you know, sitting back and being like, wow, I'm here right now. I'm doing this. This is insane.
Yeah.
But then also, like, the thing I say to people as well is, and, like, I want to see if you can relate, and I feel like you can a lot, is that people don't realize that it takes time. Like, obviously, again, linking back to the Ish events, you played in a few, and sure, you had major roles and you did good in some of them, you know, like, I'm really downplaying it, but just for the sake of it here. But then, like, until the most recent one, when you said, what, you, like, before that video came out, you had 2,000 subscribers, and since that video came out, you've gained 160,000. Like,
yeah.
People think success comes instantly, or they want instant success, but then, like, that's just not, like, with Inside MC, yeah, sure, like, I don't have loads of subscribers, but I feel pretty successful with, like, and unironically having you on the podcast right now, being able to just do that, being able to see that, like, oh, you've done amazing, you'd be a really cool guest to talk to, and you actually being interested in saying yes, like, that is good enough to me personally. But people see success in, like, oh, gaining subscribers quickly or getting loads of views quickly. And, like, with you, for example, it took time and it happened finally, you know?
No, yeah. It's definitely success, and you said it perfectly. Success is definitely not about the number that comes along with the channel. I think that the number, many a times, people consider the number is the most important fact. But I think what really is the most important part, and how I would personally define success, is if you're passionate about making something, and the feedback you get, whether it be so little from one or two people, your mom, or thousands of people, whether that the people that are watching it and yourself, if you are genuinely happy with it, then that's successful, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I would define success.
I also personally think it's being able to get people involved in what you're passionate about as well. So, like, and this is kind of the perfect transition. So obviously with the podcast, I have never thought I'd be at a stage, because obviously I don't really, it was meant to be a podcast where I just yap away about stuff, but it didn't. It became an interviewing podcast. And yet I still have people who will listen to every single interview, even if they don't know the creator, which is just, like, I never thought I'd be able to build that. And I did. And it's linking now perfectly into Chained Life, for example, is you've made this project, you're passionate about it, and I'd see success in being able to see the same people commenting on the video, seeing the same people tweet about the video, seeing the same people interested in the video. So a question here, where did the idea come from?
Oh, that's a great question. So obviously this is a series that is inspired by a content creator named Grian, who created this thing and this ongoing series, episodic series called The Life Series, where a bunch of content creators get thrown into this world and they have free lives or X amount of lives. And if you die on the last life, you're out of the series forever. And each of the like seasons of The Life Series has this their own unique twist. One season, like, it's a random amount of lives. One season, the lives are attached to the time. You have, like, 24 hours. And if you kill someone, you get, like, an extra hour. Or if you die, you lose the hour. And so there's these twists each time. And I saw that, and I'm like, this is so cool. Like, I'd love to play with this with my friends. And so I thought of this idea of, and I saw this mod of chaining two players together with this chain mod. And I did this recording that isn't actually public yet of a Q&A, and I chained myself to to Flux. We did a Q&A together. And I was like, wait a minute. This is so fun being chained to this person and trying to beat the game together. Like, why don't we just do this as like a series? Like, why don't we try something and try a series? So I took this leap. I hired a developer and I made this plugin to have this this idea come to life. And it's the first time I've ever actually done this. All my other stuff, I've joined a server, recorded my own perspective, and made a story out of it. Like the ish stuff, I was fortunate to have a good story, and so I just created it off of that. And so this is like the first time where it was me creating my own thing. And it's been so fun recording it. It's been so fun making the videos. It's been so fun like acting professional and like hiring a developer and being like, OMG, like this feels like it's a professional thing that I'm doing. But yeah, it's been so fun. But yeah, and so my series, obviously inspiration from Korean. So shout out Korean. He's a great creator. And yeah, so I was like, what better people to add to it than like connections I've made recently and then also characters from Ish's State.
So who are some of the people in the series? We won't spoil how the series is going so far because it's still fairly fresh and I want people to go and watch it themselves. But who are some of the people who are in the videos?
Yeah, so I've had creators like Prince Sam. Bablu, Pilly D Town Cat, and some familiar faces from State that Flux is in it, like Linglini, Seneca, Jophiel, a bunch of up and coming creators that now just blew up from State, that I all personally invited to join it because I've known them for a while and a lot of them have tried streaming before and now have just been like given the opportunity of capitalizing on it because of this increased boost in viewership and attention from this Ish video. And so I was like, what better way to like, you know, not necessarily catapult them into doing stuff, but like get them into content creation. A lot of these people have never posted videos before and now they're posting videos once a week. And it's just so cool to see, you know, they got people liking their videos, they're getting good viewership and it's just super cool.
Is there also if there's not, then fair play, you're so fortunate. Is there also a stressful side of it, though? Like, setting up the recordings, getting people to cooperate? Like, not saying, obviously, the people you have in a video are uncooperative. That's not what I'm getting at. But, I mean, the videos that I've recorded, like, the Life Still One, for example. Not saying them, just using an example here. Like, sometimes it's rude. Like, those videos aren't recorded all together because it's so hard scheduling all of it. So, have you faced challenges with that as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
How does that feel?
That is like managing an entire business, honestly. Getting people to like, you know, plug in sometimes breaks and the some people need substitutes. Like I've had players that aren't just, you know, life gets in the way. They can't log in that day. You know, getting 32 people to log in for 2 hours once a week is really hard.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people to all be there at the same time, and so
from all over the world too.
Yeah, there's all over the world. There's so many people, literally every part of the world, and so it's like finding a time of the day where every person's awake is a challenge. And so yeah, like I'm constantly working with my team to make sure people are know when the next session is, know when the next upload time is, trying to get everyone there for each session. And then obviously I have this team that works behind the scenes during the sessions because I can't do that. Like I can't work behind the scenes because I'm personally recording my perspective that are painstakingly fixing things live and doing stuff to ensure that during the actual sessions that everything goes as smooth as possible. So absolutely shout out Ali, shout out my editor and one of my developers, Snowbird. They are awesome. I would not be able to do that stuff without them.
Have you by any chance heard of the Crafted Together Awards?
You know, I actually I kid you not, just heard about these like last night. I saw like a Twitter post about the Crafted Together Awards and I was like, what are these? And so I actually just took a look at them like yesterday night.
Yeah, that's my thing. That's my award thing. When you say about the whole things breaking and stuff like that, currently the site is just down. It's just dead. as of recording this podcast right now, the site doesn't exist because we're doing it on Firebase. And because of so much traction towards the site, it died. It's completely completely crushed. It's just funny that you said about the things breaking and all that kind of management. Is it's stressful and it's not fun. It's not fun in the slightest. But it's okay. It's life, and also it kind of makes it fun at the same time. I don't know how to explain it, but it does.
Yeah, like a nice adrenaline boost.
When it gets like,
oh my god, what are you? Yeah, exactly.
Without too many spoilers here, and if you this will be tight, I'll timestamp this to put like spoiler alerts. If you don't want Chain Life to be spoiled, we'll skip over this. Just skip over this part. But so there's four episodes so far, and we won't spoil it too much. It's just because I want to ask a question. What have been out of the public videos? We'll do specifically. What have been some of your favorite moments so far?
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. So I did just record on Saturday. Just recorded episode 5.
Okay. We'll include episode 5 as well, because that will probably come out before the this podcast comes out next Friday. So Friday the 14th. So
maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Let's include it for the sake of it. Go on. Why not? We've spoiler alerted this.
Yeah. Why not? It's a spoiler warning. I won't give too much because I need you guys to watch my video.
Of course,
but I will. Yeah. I'll give enough. So we'll start with the first 4 episodes. A couple highlights in episode 2, a warden was unleashed onto like the main spawn area of the server and like killed a bunch of people, and that was like it was so cool. And like trying to survive that and it seeing people, and then like the warden puts people onto their last life, so like when you're on your last life, you're considered red and you're hostile now. And so the first people on the server became hostile because of the warden, and so that was like a really cool moment. In the last episode, episode 4, one of the players, his name is Gotoga, made this massive lava parkour that I ended up doing with my partner, and it completely relied, you had to like completely trust the person that you were chained with, because like you guys are both doing these parkour jumps at the same time, and one wrong move, you're both dead. And that was like super cool, because we ended up living, we ended up completing the parkour, but it was just such a cool moment. I was like literally shaking. It was insane. And then at the end of episode 4, there was this giant, like, I did this cliffhanger moment where there was finally these, like, sides and, like, stakes established where, like, there's a clear enemy. And there's a clear, like, there's a good side and a bad side. It's very cool. And, like, creating those scenes that are more cinematic, I add, like, black bars and shaders, the parts that I think are really cool. Making those have been really fun. Those scenes in general have been super fun. But for episode 5, spoiler alert, I was the boogeyman. And what that means is that one pair in the entire session gets randomly chosen to be the boogeyman, and they have to kill another pair, or they get set down to their last life. And so I was chosen by absolute chance. My dev team freaked out when it happened to be me, that I was chosen to be that person. And so that was super fun. The entire episode is going to revolve around that and the subsequent drama that unfolds because of that. So very fun. I think episode 5 may be the best episode far. I'm not just saying that to get people to watch. I genuinely think that.
Imagine you did it. Have you seen that TikTok trend where they like stand on separate sides of the wall and they say like what item they have, and you have to convince the other person like the item you have? But you should do that. You should do like a would I lie to you, but like chain together edition. And then like I don't know.
No, that's a good. That just gave me an idea. Doing making like a stage, doing like a game show with all the players during the event would be super fun.
Maybe a talent show. What about chain together talent show?
That's actually a good idea.
That would actually be really
fun. If the entire server doesn't devolve into war, episode 6. Maybe I'll do that.
But that's how
we're actually getting
right?
towards the end of the series.
No, you gotta delay it for the views. Right before the war, we'll be like, all right, lads, we're gonna try and ease the tension. So let's have a talent show. And then the talent show triggers the war. Bang!
Yeah. So like right as like I'm about to die and it's this massive climax, I'll be like, all right, pause. We're doing the beach episode now. We're gonna go make a talent show.
Yeah,
we're
exactly. Go on the beach, so.
And we'll have a good time and then we'll go back to the action. Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Wait a second. We've got a song to sing. Oh, cinema. Put me in the writer's room.
Cinema. Oh my god.
What are your plans then? Do you have any plans for when Chain Life life ends?
Oh, that's a great question. Chain Life is projected to end as the fall semester of my college is going to wrap up. And so I think I want to try streaming more consistently during my winter break as I brainstorm a potential season 2, ?
Ooh.
And then maybe consistently streaming, trying some scheduled streaming there, trying that out, growing like my live stream audience, because I've had such a fun time in the streams that I've done. In September, I streamed once a week, and October was very sparingly. I think I streamed only like twice in October because of Chained Life. And in November, it'll be the same thing where like Chained Life will take most of it up besides like this one or two streams that I'll do during that month. But like a consistent stream, like a streaming schedule would be super fun to try during my winter break when I'm like home from college and like not doing anything school related. So maybe that. We'll see what the future holds.
What do you stream still on YouTube, or are you going to move over to Twitch?
See, that's a great idea. So I stream right now on YouTube and I get pretty decent viewership there, but I do want to grow my Twitch because a lot of people prefer watching live streams on Twitch. And I know you can multi-stream. I just currently in my college apartment don't have the Wi-Fi to do a multi-stream. So I haven't attempted it yet. So maybe when I try and stream consistently, I'll try and multi-stream, grow that Twitch audience. No, people have found my Twitch already. And so I have like, let's see, I have like 700 followers on Twitch already. Jeez. Which is just ridiculous. Like, guys, how did you find this?
I have an idea for you, which used to work for me, but I never was committed to it because I just couldn't really find the time. Feel free, it's not really exactly an original, but it probably is. I don't know. What I used to do is on the Insane Orbits channel, when I used to stream, I used to stream to about 100 to 150 people, because obviously YouTube is just always going to be easier. You have more subscribers. It's, you know, the only thing is, and I've always been very open about this, and I'm sorry if you're watching on YouTube and you're a YouTube live stream watcher, is I hate YouTube live stream chats. I'm sorry. It's just children. I feel like you get the adults on the mature people on Twitch and you get the children on YouTube. Speaking on my own behalf here, I'm not speaking on anyone else's. But what I used to do was, and it could be an idea, is you go live on YouTube for like an hour, right? Doing whatever you're doing. And he'd be like, guys, I'm going to go live on Twitch. And you just spam your link. I'm like, go follow me now. I'm going to literally go live right now on Twitch. And then you go live on Twitch and then bang, all of them move over to Twitch. And then eventually you don't do the YouTube.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, honestly. It's so funny because for YouTube as well, besides, I think I do agree with you that I think it's easier to moderate on Twitch chats. I think in general, chats are kind of hectic and crazy on YouTube. But on top of that, something that I found that's kind of annoying is that YouTube needs like a live stream thumbnail, like it's a video. And I'm like, oh, that's so annoying. Like, why do I have to make a thumbnail every time I want to go live? So like my goal is to not have to do that, but and just be able to go live on Twitch. But that's like obviously a process to translate viewers over. So maybe I'll fully commit to do that. I like your idea of just being like, guys, go follow my Twitch and just like spam the link.
I did it when I was like focused on like trying to grow. But right now I'm just kind of, I just go live on Twitch. I averaged about like 4 or 5 viewers, but I'm honestly kind of just happy. It'd be nice to have more and all that kind of jazz. But like, I'm not crying for it, you know? I'm not like dying for it, sorry, I should say.
Fair enough.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about content creation, or just anything related, or have we done a pretty good job of covering everything?
I think we've done a decent job covering.
Because we have shit ton of Twitter questions.
Oh, do we? Yeah. Let's get into the Twitter questions then.
I actually do have one more question before I ask the Twitter question. So I'm just going to phrase it like it's from me. Okay, the first Twitter question is from Insane Orbits. where did the skin and profile picture come from?
OMG, that's a great question. The skin I personally made, and I think it's a masterpiece. And the profile picture I also made, but it's so funny. It was inspired by, there was this Instagram, or I think it was on YouTube, I think it was a YouTube short that I stumbled across one day. It was called Kirby Has a Gun. And Kirby has a gun. And it's like 30 seconds. And I think he shoots King Dedede in it. And it zooms in on his face. And he kind of just makes this face, like my profile picture. And I was like, that's a fire profile picture. Let me recreate. And that's where it comes from. I don't think I've ever actually said that publicly, which is super funny. But yeah, that's where it originally came from. I think I made it like 6 years ago. And then my skin 6 years ago.
I am so sorry, Abby. I realized that was actually an Abby question. What was the full process when making your high effort skin? But oh, it's Abby. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, it's Abby.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. No, it's great. No, I just, I think it's really, it's an artistic masterpiece.
Yeah, it's definitely an artistic.
There's just something about it that really says like Sapparata, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and the artists love it too because it's just so easy to draw, you know, like.
And also, if you want to play dress up, you can just put whatever clothes you want on, like, you know, just it's great. Like, but what artists, I mean, sorry, they can just like put you in any merch.
I feel so bad for artists. They're like, I've seen time and time again. I see like people on Twitter be like, "How am I supposed to draw this? It's 9 pixels on his forehead. What is this?"
Hold up, do you want me to hold up? Let me have a go drawing it. I've never done this. This is a segment on the podcast. We're gonna. I've never ever done this before, but here we go. Right, here is my paint.net.
OMG.
And screen sharing. Here we go. This is fun. Oh shit! Wait, Okay, cool. Firstly, I need a profile picture box.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, that's fine. Right, now I need to color thing. White. Perfect. Right. okay, right. How do I make this thicker?
It's on the left.
Is it this?
I think so.
Oh, it is that. Okay.
Okay.
I got a better idea. Sorry. We're really milking this. Okay, hold up.
Oh wow. Okay, a circle now.
Nice.
Yeah. Not a rectangle. Nice.
We just had to switch up a little bit.
Interesting.
Okay. Wait for it. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's good.
Hold up. Wait for it. Oh, okay. I'm feeling it right now.
Wow.
I have never ever drawn live fan art of someone on the podcast before. But there we go.
Wow. You know, I don't think I've gotten a better piece of art ever, actually.
I feel like your mouth like is a little bit like you've got lip filler. You've got lip filler right now.
Can I please post this on Twitter?
Of course you can. Yeah, go for it.
Thanks.
You can even screenshot it.
Oh,
screenshot it. It's your choice.
At Inside MC Studios.
People can be so confused. Okay, I'm gonna stop screen sharing now. But I'm glad you enjoyed the fan art.
Wow. You know, that's something else.
Right. Moving on to the next question here then.
Great segment. Okay, let's hear it.
There we go. Right. I don't write them down beforehand, so like I'm finding them. This is from H.Rain, which is like perfect link here. What is your favorite fan interpretation of your Minecraft skin, i.e. when they draw fan art of you?
Oh, wait, that's such a good question. Okay, let me get their username on Twitter, because I do want to give them a shout out. They are someone who's drawn me for a while before they're in the community, in the state community before the video came out, so, and they're awesome. One second.
This podcast is going to be full of me putting stuff on screen, but if you send over, I can slap on the screen.
Yeah, I will. I just need to find it. Here we go. Oh my God, this is probably one of my favorites. Okay. Shout out Maze Tangled on Twitter, because their interpretation of me is so good. That absolutely my all-time favorite. I love it. Like, look at this.
Oh, wow. It's that's beautiful. So sick.
Yeah, right? That's it's incredible. So good. And they're awesome. Everyone go follow them on Twitter. They're awesome. So that's easily my favorite one.
I'll slap the image and the art on the screen so people can find it if you're watching the video film.
Perfect.
That is amazing, honey. I mean, it's not as good as mine personally, but it's all
right. No, I mean, do you have? Never mind. We're not gonna talk about that.
What was you gonna say?
Real quick, I was scrolling their Twitter just now, and they drew me kissing Flux.
Oh gosh.
So I was gonna be like, yeah, well, they also do this.
Oh, the shipping. Oh no.
Yeah.
The dark side.
The dark side of Twitter, but inevitable, I guess.
No more. Stop it. Stop it, Twitter. We love art, but not that art. The next one comes from Sunswave. Okay. How many Minecraft Civ events you've played now where you played our character slash bit? Have you ever played other roleplay games like D&D? Will you ever? I don't know if participants realize just how close these events are to campaigns long.
Yes, I have played D&D. My real-life friends are, like, so into it. And I'm not as into it to them. I originally started playing because I wanted to hang out with them and they wouldn't leave their basement. And so I was like, all right, fine. I guess I'll play D&D. But it's actually super fun. Like, if you haven't played D&D and you've been thinking about getting into it, it's awesome. The last character I played was a wild magic sorcerer, and it completely embodies my personality. It's so fun. Yeah, I love D&D.
They also asked another question. When it comes to Civ events, how much of a divide would you say there is between you, the content creator, and you, the character? Do you play out you, the content creator, would, or play to a character slash bit? Like, on one extreme, is Flux picking the... I can never pronounce this word. Xenophobia bit and running with it.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. For Ish, states specific... Or like, the state event... It's run by Ish specifically. It's very hard to play like a complete character. It's way easier to play an extension of yourself in the universe or whatever. And so when it comes to state events, I tend to do that. I tend to play Saps, but he's this. Saps, but he's that. But I've played other Minecraft events that have character and are able to, like, I've played in events that they use like a naming plugin to for you to change your name to your like roleplay name. I think that's super cool. And it tends to actually have better roleplay. And honestly, like, state has actually been trending towards doing more like serious roleplay and like more character based stuff forever now. And I think it's very cool. But yeah, I in the past I've typically played just like a version of myself, and I have like a different set of morals and values each time that I try and stick to.
Sorry for the Twitter questions. I never really build on them because they're not my own questions. I kind of just ask them, you answer, and I go next. Just in case you're wondering why I'm not adding my input.
It's all good.
The next one comes from May, RC_EUNN. Sorry if I've butchered the name. I probably have. Apologies. After the repeat rule ends, they haven't said this, but I'm saying if it ends, that's me throwing that in there. What would be your plan for the future state SMP seasons? Would you still want to live as a civilian?
That's a great question. So funny. I've had talks to Ish, and I think I'm probably the only person he said this to, but obviously a joking way, and I don't mind. But he's been like, you're never getting off the rule, man. And I'm like, that's fair. I've had my time in the spotlight. I don't need it anymore. So I don't know if I do anything crazy in future events. It's obviously all subject to an up for debate. If there's this really cool event and I have this really cool idea, maybe I'll do something bigger. But for the most part, I'll probably lay low and allow other people to take the spotlight. I think it's so cool when other people get their chance to have their ideas shine and be in this mega video, because as players get more and more popular because they're in these events, it gets easier and easier for them to create something that's kind of the same, especially when the leaders stay the same. So I think it's super cool to see other people rise up and do their own thing, and then that process repeats time. I don't know if I do anything big again.
The issue is, and this is kind of what I wanted to say earlier, but I knew there was a Twitter question around similar to it, so I didn't want to bring it up. I'll bring it up now, and this is one I will add to it. Do you find it hard to play in these later seasons now, because you're an established name, right? So like, you know, and this is something that I'd love to talk to Ish about one day, but I can imagine it's a lot harder kind of doing the events now, because either everyone wants to be a main character or everyone wants to kill the YouTuber, if that makes sense. And now you're quote unquote established, it's probably hard for you to get involved in stuff because everyone wants to be the one to be like, oh yeah, I killed Saps, and whether it's intentional or not in regards to like, you know, wanting to be the main character, I can imagine it makes, you know, your life not as fun.
Yeah, the process around playing the event is absolutely different, and the mindset is absolutely different from when it was in the beginning and versus now. It's interesting, like, because I feel like because you were such a big name and an established presence in the community, that you naturally just have all eyes on you, especially when you're like popular in the most recent one, they almost expect you to do something else in like the newest ones or whatever. And so it is a little weird. I mean, nothing like insanely crazy. Fortunately, the application process in these things is so ridiculously rigorous. Like it was like 60,000 applications this time, and like 1,300 got in. Like it's insane. I think it was easier to get into Harvard than to get into the Ish State 2.7 event that just happened. But so fortunately, like because of that and because of the amazing moderation team, like the quote unquote like fans and people who like will be like could potentially like obsessed and like follow you around are kind of like filtered out. And so a lot of the people actually are very nice. I typically have very nice interactions. Like they recognize me and be like, oh my God, hi. But like nothing else besides that. So, I mean, for now, I haven't had anything crazy happen, but you know, you never know.
The next one comes from Collier then. How are you reacting and feeling about your spike in popularity? I know we touched on it earlier. It's kind of just, I want to, for the timestamp here also.
Yeah. It is insanely surreal. For a long time, while this was happening, like in the earlier months when I was exploding and the views were by all means piling up, it didn't even feel like anything happened. Like I was just doing my own thing and I was just like, it was all like happy and dandy. And then one day I hit 100,000 and this plaque gets sent to my door, this YouTube plaque. And I sit there and it's in my hands and I go, holy fuck, what just happened? You know, like it all hit me all at once there. And I had to take a moment and like self-reflect. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it was just insane to me that I was like holding the thing that like you see in like the back of like every like face cam of like every popular creator ever. And I was holding it and people, and it was mine. It had my name on it. And so, yeah, it was just insane to me. I never expected it. It was just something that like, the amount of positive feedback on the video, on and the subscriber gain, like it was something that I would have never thought. Like I had my view goal, my initial view goal of like 100,000. I was like, if it gets 100,000, that'd be like the most insane thing ever. And I think my video right now is sitting at like 2 million. I have 100,000. Wow. I think the video has 100,000 likes, and I have 100,000 subscribers. Like it's insane. That's like it makes no sense to me. Yeah, it's mental.
A lot of these questions are kind of repeats of what we've done, so I won't ask many of them more. But this one's from Moonbeam. So they asked a few questions, which some of them I'll ask like one or two of them. So first one, who are some content creators you'd like to collab with?
Oh, wait, that's such a...
Okay, you have your own podcast, right? And you can bring three people on, dead or alive. Doesn't have to be Minecraft related, just three people you'd love to talk to. And also, it's not something you have to think too hard about. It's just names that have come to your head right now. Who are three people you bring on? That's an easier way to answer this question.
The first one that instantly came to my head is Ludwig.
Okay.
I think Ludwig is someone I've watched for a very long time, and someone that like is when he used to do like more variety content and like he was very focused on streams, I watched a lot of that. I've been watching him since like 2019. Like sitting down and talking to him would be super cool, and like and picking his brain at content creation, and then also like talking about like, because he used to do big events as well, like figuring out the intricacies of doing something like that person is just it seems so cool to me. So Ludwig for sure. That was easily one of them. I'll do one more. I think a collab that would be really cool. I actually just met him and talked to him a couple weeks ago. But Evbo, a creator who made Parkour Civilization. If you don't know, he's pretty cool. But I just met him. I was on a team with him for an event, and he was super cool. Like I had such a fun time interacting with him. So a collab with him would be super cool. I think that would be something that I'd be really interested in.
I hope one day I would be interested in coming on the podcast as well, because I agree with you. Because I had them shop in a video, but obviously kind of interviewing is a whole different ball game, you know. It's all good being in a video, but I not everyone's open for an interview. I was saying everybody said yes or no, but you get what I mean.
Yeah.
A second question that came from them then was just because you're on one now, would you ever make your own podcast?
Oh god. I don't know what I would talk about. Do they need another white boy with a podcast? Like really? I don't know. Yeah. I think it'd be really cool I like the way Ludwig did it, where he platformed his like friends that like are characters on like his like not characters but like background people on his streams that would come in on time to time. I really like the way he did his podcast. I really like the podcast that Doug and Atrioc made. That I think it's called Lemonade Stand, where they have like a gimmick. It's more about like finance, marketing, and like political events and stuff like that. Like and like information. It's about like modern information and stuff like that. And I really I enjoy that podcast too. But yeah, maybe in the future, if I'm big enough, where I feel like the people around me, I can platform and we have good things to talk about or a good idea. I mean, sure, I'm not against it. It seems fun, but for right now, no. I would not make one right now.
And the final one here then comes from Thomas 5200. Why did you kill all the leaders?
I'm innocent. That's all I'll say.
The verdict said otherwise.
Yeah, it did.
Well, sadly, that brings the end of the Twitter questions. I realized we didn't touch on it, so I will say it now. So you mentioned there you played with Evbo in Chamber Trials. You today got announced to be playing in the Block Wars Twitch Rivals event, even though you're a Ooh. YouTube streamer.
OMG, yeah, true.
But it's for Movember, it's for charity, so it's all a good cause. Yes. So it's interesting to see you getting into the event soon. Ooh.
Yeah, so that's something I didn't really expect to happen, because I'm not like the best player in the world. I'm pretty mediocre at best, honestly. But they've been so fun. I've had such a great time playing them. And obviously, like, a dream of mine would be like, oh my god, like MCC, like the big, huge event. Like, I remember watching those when it first came out, and I was like, being in that would be so cool, you know? But like these events that are like big and have huge creators in it, and like Block Wars especially, like they don't have, it's not just Minecraft creators too. They have huge, huge creators that do their own content that are in this now. And like being able to interact and like talk to these people and like just be in the same place as them it's just so cool, right? Like, because I still feel like this 3,000 YouTuber that, and I'm like, why am I here? What is going on, you know?
And now you're big time.
Yeah, super fun. I'm very excited for it. Should be good.
Well, with that being said then, that sadly brings the end of this week's Inside Ems. You've been an amazing guest, so thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was such a fun time.
Before I do the outro here, though, I always like to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself. So for anyone who's listened this far but doesn't know who you are or doesn't know where to find you, who are, not who are, you've already introduced yourself, where can people find you?
OMG. Okay, so you could find me at youtube.com/Saparada. I think I make pretty cool stuff there. And yeah, I mean, please subscribe to me, I guess. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. For this podcast, this interview, it's been super cool. I've had such a good time.
I vouch Saparata for president in the next anything.
Hey, you know, maybe not the president, but you know,
the king.
Yeah, that works too. I'm good with that.
Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you so much again, Saps. You've been an amazing guest. I'm probably going to go to bed now because I've been up since early and I have to be up early. But thank you so much. This has been Inside MC. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. Peaces.
Bye, guys. Bye.